we started looking at the subject matter of faith again last week. Okay, hallelujah. Mark 11, glory to God. Amen. Verse 22. Okay, so we started looking at the subject matter of faith again. We said, exploring faith. Okay, it's like we're having a refresher course in faith. And one of the things I said was that a local assembly is a place where we're taught God's word. And there's some subject that we ought to emphasize every single year, because you will need it for your day-to-day living. So every year we look at faith, if not directly, we say some things around it, because you will always need your faith. You will always need your faith. And the one interesting thing about faith is that, except your thought over and over, I've never seen anyone who has graduated out of the school of learning about faith, because there's always one area or the other where we may need to make some adjustments to get our faith to work. Faith is not magic. Faith is a spiritual law. And without it, it is impossible to experience the fullness of God's grace in our lives. So we took our text from Mark chapter 11, and I said some things last week by way of introduction. Verse 22, and Jesus answered, said unto them, have faith in God. Hallelujah. And the original rendering says, have the faith of God. And some have called it, have the God kind of faith. Okay. So now, when it says, have the God kind of faith, that automatically tells you, this kind of faith is limited in operation. Have the God kind of faith. How do you have the God kind of faith? It says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things ever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall what? Have them. Now, we use these two verses, particularly verse 23, to teach faith. But it's interesting, if you're going to read this contextually, that Jesus spoke about what he said in verse 23 to call our attention to verse 24. And in verse 24, it says, therefore, or for this reason. So the reason why I told you what I told you in verse 23 is because of what I'm about to say to you in verse 24. That's why it says, therefore. So, therefore means he's zooming in onto prayer. Why does prayer work? That's what Jesus is saying. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall what? Have them. So, we know this text we saw last week, that Jesus passing by a fig tree, saw it having leaves afar off, got there, found no fruit, and Jesus said, no man eat fruits from the air on after. And then the next day when they were passing by, the disciples called, particularly Peter, called Jesus' attention to the fig tree and said, Master, the fig tree which thou causest has withered away. And then Jesus used the opportunity to teach his spiritual principle. So they saw the physical reality of the words that Jesus spoke. What was the physical reality? The fig tree had dried up from the roots. And I told us last week that that's important, because there is no detail that is handed that is meaningless. Jesus spoke the day before. Jesus didn't go back to check. Jesus was passing by the next day. He still didn't go back to check. But Peter, calling to mind what Jesus said, called the attention of Jesus and the others, said, Master, the fig tree which thou causest is withered off from the roots. So we see that when Jesus spoke to the fig tree, there was no visible sign of any activity of what Jesus said. No visible sign. But by the next day, they saw something interesting. From the root of the tree, it began to wither. And the root is the life source. That's where the nutrients and nourishment flow from. So it means that when Jesus spoke, the words that Jesus spoke took effect in the invisible realm before it showed in the physical realm. That's what it means. The unseen part of the tree, the word was working. But there was no proof until at least 24 hours. Now Jesus now says, verily I say unto you, what things soever you desire, or whosoever, have the faith of God. He says, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. And I said also, this mountain is a specific mountain. This fountain, the word mountain there simply refers to that which does not move. So Jesus is using a particular illustration to show you that even that which looks unmovable, that which doesn't move, it doesn't change position. He says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall what? Have whatsoever he said. Then I said also that in this singular verse, verse 24, we have the word, verse 23 rather, we have the word say more often than believe. Verse 23 is emphasizing saying. Verse 24 is where believing is emphasized. Hallelujah. I'm saying all this because we need to get the principle. It's so important. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. So we know there's a connection between what is spoken and what is believed. What is believed is of the heart. What is spoken is of the mouth. So faith in the heart and faith in the mouth is what produces results. Now let me call attention to something else that's important also. Spoken words cannot be seen, but spoken words carry spiritual realities. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Spoken words cannot be physically seen, but they carry spiritual realities, which means that the reason why words produce results is that they carry a reality. The reality can be good or evil, but spoken words carry a reality. Spiritual realities are conveyed by spoken words. So if you see a mountain which is physical in nature, and sometimes it's even spiritual, it says, whosoever shall say. So I like putting it this way. Do you have a mouth and you can say? Say. It now says, shall not doubt in his heart. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass. So he's saying, the heart, the condition of the heart, must reflect in the words spoken. He's teaching, though you are saying and saying and saying, if there's a disconnection in the heart, you are not fulfilling the principle. And that's usually where the issue comes up. Now, let me put it this way. Do you know the interesting part is that if there's a disconnection, it will always show through. One of the reasons why we say we're believing and trusting God for a particular thing, and we say it, and we're not constant with saying, is because there's no connection with the heart at all times. How do you know there's no connection? If the person makes a profession of faith before you, and they see something contrary after they leave you, and they change, the heart connection is not there yet. So why is he teaching the principle, whosoever shall say? They just saw him spoke to a fig tree. They saw the results. They saw Jesus did not say any other thing than what he had said. There was no doubt inside about what will happen. So Jesus practiced economy of speech. You know, he said that where there are too many words, lies will be present. Okay, in the multitude of words, they are wanted not lies and evil. Jesus practiced economy of speech. You know, Jesus understood that a man is meant to use his words to convey his will. In other words, what a man doesn't want to see, he doesn't say. So Jesus is God's prototype to teach us how is man meant to live. Remember what Jesus said in Luke 4 when Satan came with the temptation? Luke chapter 4. I think verse 11. Let's check. Luke 4, 11. Let's see. In temptation of Jesus, look at what Jesus answered to Satan. Next verse. Oh, no. The part where he said, I turned the truth to bread. The part where Satan came with temptation, turned the stone to bread. Man shall not live. Verse 4. Okay, thank you. Verse 4. And Jesus answered, saying to me, it is written that man shall not what? Live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Let's do Matthew version. Let's look at Matthew. Put it. There's a particular aspect that Matthew added to that same phrase, because this is in Matthew chapter 4 too. But Matthew added something to the word of God there. That's important. Okay. But he answered and said, it is written, that's Matthew 4:14. He said, man shall not what? Live The word live means he will not carry about his daily activities on the earth. He will not have experiences on the earth. He is not designed to act independently from God's word. Man is designed to be an interdependent spirit. So, you may be deceived to think you are living in a physical world, but we are living in a spiritual world. Spiritual forces are around us, but the activity of spiritual forces is not determined by spiritual forces. It is determined by man, who is a spirit, who has the ability and the authority to rule. How does he rule? He rules by words. So he says, Jesus is answering Satan by says, for man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds after the mouth of God. So he's not addressing man's physical body here, he's addressing man's spirit. Because the part of you that the word of God affects is your heart, the spiritual part of you, your heart. So the word that proceeds is the word that man has received. And says, the man shall make progress, he shall live, he shall have experiences by the words that proceed from what? The mouth of God. That's important. So when Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, why is there a heart connection? Number one, words convey spiritual realities. Number two, words are seeds. We'll look at parable of sower, hopefully, in the series. We've not looked at it for a long time, but to just go ahead and then we'll come back to you later. In the parable of the sower, there are some facts that are important in that parable, because when he gave the parable, when Jesus gave the parable, he gave it in, we have Mark's version, which is the most popular version, or most quoted version, Mark 4. We have it in Matthew 8, okay? We have it in Luke also. Sorry, Luke 8, not Matthew 8. We have it in Luke also, in Matthew 3. Now, in that parable, Jesus taught some principles. He mentioned the sower soweth the word. When he was interpreting for his disciples. Disciples wondered, what does this parable mean? Okay, a seed fell by the wayside. Okay, some fell on good soil, some fell, so he gave different, so there were four scenarios. But one important thing is this, the sower occurs once. The seed is the same. The variable was the ground. Should I say that again? The seed is the same. The sower is the same. The variable is the ground. So when Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed without casting the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, the variable is always the heart. It is never what to believe. It is how the heart believes. Because the how the heart believes is what automatically, eventually controls what you are saying. So, the Bible says, or Jesus taught and told them that it was the heart in that parable that differed in production. That's one of the reasons why it's seen. Faith is faith. The expression of faith differs from one person to the other because the question we ask is, what do you believe? My faith level can be very high. And I'm believing that you're on your spiritual bed. And if I lay hands upon you right now, you believe right now, and you cooperate with God's power and get up and walk out. That's my faith. But your faith may be that I want you to agree with me that in the next 2 days, taking this medication, I'll be discharged. That is your faith. It is still faith. Now, I can't force you to come to my level, but I can stay at your level. The most important thing is that both of us did one thing. We used faith. But the faith is not the same way in operation. How many of you understand that? That's one of the reasons why there is no formula in that sense. You cannot copy a testimony. You can't. Because the testimony came out of a person's faith or how that individual's heart produced. How does your own heart produce may be different. Our heart doesn't produce the same. Glory to God. How does it produce the same? So many times when you hear somebody's testimony, I know somebody who says he has not used medication in the last 20 years. You heard that yesterday. You know to yourself today. I will not use. There's somebody telling you that I believe God. I trusted God. I threw away my medicine. Throwing away medicine can be an act of faith. But throwing away medicine can also be an act of foolishness. So you cannot always see faith in the action. Faith is primarily of the heart. Hallelujah. Why? Throwing away your medicine doesn't necessarily mean you are a faith. You may be in presumption. Removing your glasses Maybe after there's an accident that we discover that it was not faith. So what people sometimes do is that they try to use an action to produce faith, not knowing the faith should produce an action. Faith tells you what to do. You don't tell faith what to do. Faith in the heart, when it produces, it gives you the actions or the steps to take, not the other way around. I'm believing God for a business, and I confess God's word. You have not come to find out what I'm confessing and what I'm how I'm using my faith. Then my faith produces result in that someone sent me money to start a business. When you are confessing yours, your own faith may work out such that you will need to borrow money to start a business. What is common to us that we both started a business? The avenues are different because our faith produces what differently. Do you understand that now? So a lot of times, this is why you can't copy. He has already told you, shall not doubt in his heart. So there's what he's saying. There's no doubt in his heart. Then he will say. He will say. He will say. So no matter what a man believes, it is not yet faith in expression if it's not spoken. Shall not doubt that, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. He saith. The word saith there means he continues to say. He didn't just say. He continues to say. How do you know the heart produces differently? Matthew chapter 8. Matthew 8, verse 5. Are you there? And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Verse 9, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled. He marveled. Let's go back to verse 5. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, what did the man say? Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Now, is that what the man said? What was Jesus' response? And Jesus said unto him, are we one? And first of all, understand that the man didn't say Jesus should come. It was Jesus who said, you will what? Come. If Jesus said he will come, even in that initial statement of my servant lies at home, beseeching him means that appealing to Jesus. My servant lies at home, grievously said, he has not made a demand yet in his words, but there's a demand in his heart. Jesus just said, I will come and heal him. He hadn't spoken any further than that. He didn't say Jesus come. It was Jesus' word, I will come and heal him. That's number one. Number two, you understand if you study Jesus' means very well, his strongest way or ministering healing was by laying of hands. He did use other methods, but his strongest means was to physically be present and do what? Lay hands. Okay? But the man now said, I'm not worthy you should come under my roof. What is this man doing? He is saying something. So, you're going to say something shortly. He said, speak the word only. What did the man believe? You can only tell what he believes in what he said. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And Jesus marveled. Look at what Jesus said when he marveled. And Jesus heard it, and he marveled and said unto them, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. What is Jesus calling great faith? Well, traditionally, here's what we say, faith that understands authority. Because how did the man understand faith? Authority. I'm a man under authority. He's a centurion. Okay, that's a Roman word for somebody who has control over 100 men. If you have control over 100 men, you have superiors you report to. The superiors will not go to the 100 men, they will come to you to know what happened. So you are subject to other officers, higher up, So other officers are now subject to you. So he now says authority flows from up to down. So Jesus, what was the man telling Jesus? I am a man under authority, and because I'm under authority, I say to men, or authority gives me the right to say to men, go, they go, come, they come. There's no question. What was he saying to Jesus indirectly? You also are a man under authority. So when you say to sickness, go, it goes. When you tell disease to come, it comes. And Jesus said, I have not seen so great a faith. This is the man did not doubt. So what Jesus was saying, he was telling Jesus, what you will do if you are physically present is what your words will do. I don't know if you get it. You see, there's no difference. Your physical presence is not the most important thing. It is what you say. What you say and your physical presence, they're one and the same. They produce exactly the same results. Mark 5. So we see one scenario, isn't it? Okay. So let's assume Jesus is neutral, even though he's not. Jesus is the power of God on two legs, and Jesus is just neutral. Are you in Mark 5? Let's read from this. Let me see now. Where do we start now? Let's read from verse 22. Or verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered around him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell. Those pronouns are out of place. Just all over the place. You have to know which one is it. Who is he? So who fell? Who in you? You have to. King James is wonderful. So don't get lost, okay? So, Jairus by name. When he, Jairus, saw Jesus, he fell at his, Jesus' feet, okay? Okay, before you get lost, verse 23. And besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall. What did he believe? She shall. He shall, definite or uncertain? Definite. Now notice something. Faith doesn't ignore facts. Faith doesn't say something that appears serious is not serious. That's why I said faith doesn't say, we didn't see in church, I was very strong. If you are strong, we'll give you work. Did you take boost or what? How did you become strong? Bros, I need like 5K. I'm very rich, honestly. I'm so rich. Bring money. Bring money. You know, we've just made up all kinds of Christianese that's like, it's like, and then we're afraid. I cannot say I don't have See, apostolic statement, silver and gold I have none. Apostolic, I have none. That is, as I'm talking here right now, I've not gone fishing. I don't have silver gold, but I have something that no vocation or career can bring. In the name of Jesus. You understand that? So, if Peter can say it, Peter doesn't know faith confession. Doesn't know that way. Peter, you don't have. Say you have. You want to cut the flow? No. If you don't have that time, you don't have at that time. You don't have at that time. You know, it's very interesting. People that are very wealthy are never afraid to say they don't have. People that are very wealthy are not always liquid. I hope you know. People that are very wealthy, I've seen somebody who had like 6 houses and was last money giving 2,000 naira. Thank you very much. How did you have your money? It wasn't liquid. Sometimes all your money is tied up in assets or businesses and then there's no liquid cash flow in your hands. What happened? At that time you don't have, yet you have. I hope you understand. So you need to, it's not, faith does not ignore facts. Faith overrides facts. Faith overrides facts. That's why sometimes when you see facts and you're using faith will give you the right interpretation of facts. Your man came to Bishop Odebo. He said, sir, I'm believing God for a baby. He prayed for her, go and have your baby. She came back a month after. Sir, you know, some 3 months after, sir, I'm having a miscarriage. He said, how do you know? He said, there's blood. She brought out a bleed, cut his hand. What is this blood? Am I having a miscarriage? See, what is the blood? Say, so I'm having a miscarriage. The man said, no, sir. Go have your baby. That was it. What was the problem? Too much knowledge of medical science. A very little knowledge of God's word. Medical science is good. If you put too much of knowledge inside, it can hinder your faith. John G. Lake said that they brought a baby to him in South Africa. And because he also knew some things about medicine, the baby appeared as though the baby was dead. Then he saw one of his native preachers he had trained praying for the baby. So when he went to carry the baby, he just noticed that the head just rolled to one side. He saw the baby's neck was broken. He said, ah, the man's name is Lepa. Lepa, baby's neck is broken. As in, this one is gone. He said, there was a look that preacher gave him that said, that made him realize that you are not in faith. He said, if I cannot be in faith with you, I should not hinder yours. He left the place. He went to go and do other work. Later in the day, he came back. When he saw the preacher, he said, I've had a baby. He said, baby fine. Baby well. What was the difference? He said, when the preacher, that native preacher said that, as he was walking, he was confessing, Lord, take away all accursed medical science knowledge from my head. Because in his mind, once he just said, baby's neck is snapped. That's then. The guy doesn't know the difference between the neck is snapped or not. He just knows the power of God will do anything. He doesn't have to know your heart. Maybe don't even try to pray. The neck is snapped. The guy did not even know anything. I don't even get it. He doesn't have enough sense to know. So sometimes the information we even have even in that rather than help faith. And what it means. So this man came to Jesus and said, my daughter lies. And look at what Jesus did. Where are we now? Mark what? So verse 24. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and what? Thronged him. Okay? Of course, if you follow after, you now see the woman with the issue of blood, isn't it? Let's read our own part a little bit. We won't go through all. A certain woman had an issue of blood, 12 years. We don't know her name. We don't know her surname. Woman, issue of blood. Isn't it? That's her name in the Bible. Woman with the issue of blood. As if our name is, first name is woman, surname is issue of blood. So, and I suffered many things of many physicians, and I spent all that she had, and there was nothing better, but rather grievous, when she had heard. Those are the days of attention. When she had heard of Jesus. So there was a hearing that took place. Now here's the issue. There was a hearing that took place. Obviously she was not the only one who had. She was one of those who had. But there was a response from her heart that was different from the others. And one of the things that Jesus taught you was that be careful how you hear. Because when we look at the parable of the sower, we will see something. When the sower sowed the word, the difference in results was in the ground and how the ground produced. It was not in the seed. It wasn't in the sower. So she had heard of Jesus. She came in the press behind and touched the garment. For she said, this is how King James puts it. It says, for she kept saying. So before she did the action, there was a speech. Whosoever shall say shall not doubt in their heart, but shall believe those things which they say shall come to pass. So whatever she heard, the way her heart responded was that she started saying. Whatever she heard, what was reflected in her heart was that this is exactly how I am going to take delivery of my healing. For she said, notice the centurion said, Jairus came and said, this woman also said. So centurion spoke to Jesus. Jairus spoke to Jesus. This woman didn't speak to Jesus, but she still said. Hallelujah. What is common to all of them? They all said. What did they say? That is what is different. They only spoke what their hearts agreed with. That's important. They only said what their hearts agreed with. What did Naomi not agree with? If I may but touch the hem of his garment. And that's instructive because she didn't say, if I may but touch him. She actually said, the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. Did she get results? Yes. How? Immediately. That Jesus was not aware she was going to touch is what makes you know that faith works independent. Faith is not God has agreed. Mm-mm. Faith is almost like whether God likes it or not. I don't even get it. Because it's of the heart. So it matters what the heart believes. Always does. It matters what the heart believes. So what Jairus said to Jesus is this: you lay hands upon her, she shall be healed. That's actually why Jesus followed him. Because what was Jairus' faith saying? You have to lay hands on her. That was what Jairus could believe. Is it faith? Yes, it's faith. The point of contact was Jesus' hands. If you lay hands, she shall be healed. That was the picture in Jairus' heart. What didn't Jairus doubt? That when Jesus touches the daughter will be healed. She didn't doubt it. What did the centurion believe? That if Jesus will speak, the servant will be well. Think about it. All of them were saying something. They were saying something different, but they all received. So this woman felt immediately in her body that she was healed of that what? Plague. Immediately. That was how our faith worked. But our faith also involved what? Speaking. Let's go a little bit further so that we can see what Jairus said. Verse 34. Look at what Jesus said. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be one whole of thy plague. Verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Unsolicited information. People that they didn't send. And if you read all the way down, you see this association of professional mourners. They cry more than they want, than they believed. After they finish crying, some they will eat intermediately and continue crying. They rent them, his parents, pariah. Nobody asked them for information. They came to meet him. Jesus did not address them. The minute they said what they said, to who? To Jairus. Look at Jesus' response. While he spake, they came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid. Only, how do we know that Jairus was about to be afraid? What was said? So remember what I said earlier, that words carry spiritual realities. One reality was conveyed to Jairus, death. What did Jairus believe? My daughter shall live. How did he express his faith? Once Jesus touches my daughter, she shall be healed, shall live. What did he just say? She's already dead. What that word convey? Fear. Let me say this. Fear is not just looking at circumstances, it is believing the worst of circumstances. Let me say it. Fear is not just affected by or paying attention to circumstances. It is believing the worst of circumstances. It's not just circumstances that's the issue. It is what you think of circumstances and what you believe that actually. Because you told Jesus she lies at the point of death. If you lay your hands, shall be healed. They just came tell you now that she's dead. Now, if she was dead, but they didn't tell you, your faith is still that. When you lay hands on one, she shall what? Leave. So why? Because you don't have any cause to doubt. So whatever they said to Jairus at that time was meant to convey fear. What you said, be not afraid, only believe. Or don't disconnect in your heart. What was Jairus' response? He said nothing. You know, sometimes when you've spoken in faith, sometimes your next action is to say nothing else. When everything goes downhill. Hallelujah. People have asked me many times, I said, Pastor, that confession you taught us. When I started confessing like this, in fact, everything just went down. This is not the confession. I made it go down. It is that situations have been manipulated around you to take the confession from your lips. And sometimes we are not aware. It is either your confession changes situation or the situation takes a confession from your lips. In fact, the reason why there's activity that seems to be going downhill is because there's something about what you are seeing that is working. Hallelujah. It's like trouble was lying at rest until you open your mouth. And the whole course of creation around you seems to just revolt when you started speaking. Why? You are about to operate a law that will give you permanent results. And everything around you is saying, you will not agree. You will not agree. Hallelujah. So, the same way faith or spiritual blessings are conveyed by words, spiritual, negative spiritual realities are conveyed by the same. Fear is also conveyed by words. As a truth. Fear is conveyed by words. Look at Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Mark 4, 35. Let's look at this. Be not afraid, only believe. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, that's Jesus. And they were also with him. There was with him other little ships. Next verse. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Yeah. And he was in the inner part of the ship, asleep on the pillow. And they awake him and say, now, again, pay attention. You cannot tell they are afraid always until you hear what they have to say. Because words carry spiritual realities. See what they say? Master, carest thou not that we perish? What did they believe? We are going to die. What was going on? Waves, water came into the ship. Who was in the ship with them? Who was in the ship with them? What was he doing? Sleeping. What did they say to the power of God? We are about to die. Was power of God present? Yes. How did they respond to God's power? We are dying. That's why there are some things that people say when it comes to jokes, that if you say a particular joke long enough as negative, your heart will believe it. Yeah, there were some slangs people used to say before. Thank God I've not heard that in a long time. I'm so dead. Ah. And I'm like, I'm dying. I'm dying to see you. I know. Live to see me. Live to see me. You know, there are some things that we say to babes, women. God forgive us. It is allowed. But lady marriage is allowed. Even if I don't see you, I can't sleep. You will sleep. Stay awake for a long enough. After a while, coffee will not work again. You will sleep. If I don't hear from you, I cannot eat. Make it 24 hours. If you so eat. That's why I said that you married, you are allowed. It's a valid lie. It's okay. It's where your heart is busy. After a while, you will tell yourself that this hunger, I may not be alive to fulfill my mandate. You know, but when you are regularly confessing those things negatively and you now become used to it, that's the problem. Once you become used to it, your heart will take it as your reality. And words convey spiritual realities. What are they supposed to say to Jesus? Definitely not, we are perishing. Jesus is with you, how can you perish? Think about it. Look at what Jesus said. He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Verse 40. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now they were afraid again, differently now. They were not afraid, but it was not different from the other one. You know, I think there was one day we had the Wafi version of that part. You know, we read one church, I'll be in church one day then. I said, Jesus will be wind show. Speaking to the wind, and the wind is obeying you. You know. So he says, why are you so fearful? How did Jesus know? It wasn't just action, it was in their words. Hallelujah. So can you feel fear? Yes. Should you speak fear? No. Did you hear what I just said? Feeling fear and speaking fear are not the same. When you feel fear and you speak it, you just use faith in the reverse. You get what I said? Feeling fear is one. Speaking it is another. Speaking it is, you have just made the heart-mouth connection. Don't make that connection. Don't make that connection. Make sure the connection. So if you feel fear, speak your faith. What will your faith do? It will operate the source of the fear. Because one of the ways we affect what is in our hearts is in what we say. If you say something long enough, it will enter your heart. That is why you have a right to choose what to say. If you keep telling somebody you love them. Why do you keep saying you will believe it though? And the emotions will come. I always tell you this. If you don't like a guy, don't let him linger around you. If you keep listening to his sweet words, thou shalt believe. If you keep letting, except you feel revulsion, that's different. But if you are like indifferent, you know, some people you think you are indifferent. You don't like, you're just like indifferent. So, but if you keep sowing the seed of good words near you, it will draw your heart. Let me use a bad word. They have used bread to take away your stew. All your stew is gone with words, with bread. Okay, because if you keep saying it, you will believe it. You will believe him. Even what he say, because that's what you keep hearing. So that means somebody else is planting seeds in your heart and you are allowing it to happen. Now, Jairus did not plant fear. Somebody planted fear. And somebody asked me a question, Pastor, why is it that when we say something negative, it always comes to pass? When we say something positive, it also, because your heart obviously is developed more in negative things. And because you are still working on getting superstitious beliefs out of your heart. That's the truth. Normally, even if you say something negative, that you said it once doesn't make it a law. No. Whosoever shall say shall not doubt in his heart. So that's why you cannot go and say, no, I cannot act like the devil now. What if, see, if you can act like the devil from now till next week, it doesn't make you the devil. You know, you say, yeah. Because you know, in those days, when we have all these religious places, we used to do religious places, then there's the devil, there's the angel, and there's God. Nobody tell you, know, the words concern, brothers, now that we have acted the role of that lost believer, who did he make heaven? Let us pray. May this not be our portion. In Jesus' name. You've not been answered before. Then you have acted that film. That drama, and you were the part of the one that maybe you are very good at playing those who miss rapture or miss heaven. Let us pray that I will not be a portion. Prayer will be much. The question is, if just by acting and by saying you become the one who acted God and God, why did he become God? No matter how much he acts and confesses, it cannot be God. I hope you understand. That's not how it works. Works are containers. They convey realities. Jesus said in John 6:63, the flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit. And they are what? They are life. So that's why sometimes, if the believing part is yet to come, if you keep saying, what you are doing is you are feeding your heart. Why are you feeding your heart? You are bringing about believing or persuasion in your heart. So if you keep saying, will you sometimes feel differently? Yes. So the feeling differently is not even the problem. It is the saying differently that's the issue. Though you feel differently, keep saying the right thing. Because what you are doing is you are making sure the quality of the seed is the same. What will happen? The quality of the believing will line up. Glory to God. The quality of living life. You know, I've seen people do projects when it comes to faith projects, and one of the reasons why sometimes when you are believing God for money, it depends on the state of your heart and the seed you are planting or you're sowing or what you believe. Because remember, money is in the hands of men. You don't receive money from God directly because it doesn't have printing press. The money you're going to ask for is going to be in the hands of men. And the way God answers is that you get a job, you get a contract, a friend blesses you, or somebody walks up to you and bless you. So the reason why it takes time sometimes is that as you are confessing, you need to double up, because many times the people that have the money are not willing to release it. I'm just being sincere with you. That's what happens a lot of times. Sometimes when it comes to money, but like if it comes to some huge amounts, you need to not just confess long, hard pray in the spirit, because it's in the hands of men. That's where the issue is. this contract, they promised the contract 3 months ago. I don't know why you just told me that you are dealing with a spiritual being who is influenced by other spiritual beings, that you need to pray so that the man's will can be aligned. You have confessed, I believe God for the contract, but it's going to be approved by a man. And the man that's going to approve it, part of your faith process is that you pray in the spirit that that person's heart will be touched. Hallelujah. So, a lot of times, example, if you are believing, there's a faith project that concerns finances, give yourself time. So that time will not pressurize you. You're going to pay rent next year, March. You should know by now how long it takes for your heart to believe. If you are going to use faith to get it, you should know by now how much it takes, how long it takes. You do start confessing on the 1st of March when you're going to pay at the end of March. You are giving yourself 30 days. Then I said, I will confess morning, noon, and night. You are confessing morning, noon, and night, but your heart is slowing down. Your heart is saying that they have given the person above quit notice. Father, I believe that. 2 days after, the next person down quit notice. What is happening? What you are saying is putting pressure on your heart. That's what's happening. Quit notice to the person above and beside you doesn't change what God will do. I hope you understand. But it is affecting your heart. So many times you give yourself enough time to confess what you believe. Hallelujah. Do you understand? So it's a process. So we see Jairus, we see the centurion, we see with the woman with the issue of blood. What is common is that they got results. What is common was the exercised faith. What is not common is how the faith was exercised. Did they say the same thing? No. Did their faith follow the same channel? No. The only thing that is similar is they spoke. Faith says they spoke. How it was processed was a function of their heart. Why did the woman with the issue of blood say, if I were touched? That was how her heart processed the seed. Why did the centurion say, don't come, speak the word only? That was how his heart processed the seed. Why did he also say that way? Because that's how his heart processed the seed. So it actually tells you the one who is believing is responsible at the end of the day for results. We'll go back to that Mark chapter 11. Let me show you something. We'll get into the story of the children of Israel in Kadesh Barnea. The 12 spies. We have all night praying. They had all night crying. I guess you are wondering why about 2 million people died in the wilderness. They had all night crying, saying the same thing. Everyone says that they were in accord. They were in accord. They cried all night. You know, we have all night praying. They did all night crying. And they're saying the same thing. That means that the way they were destroyed in the wilderness was supernatural. Were not natural. You know what it means for people 40 years above to die? And guess what? History says they were 40 days away from the promised land. That means they give their spirit man a lot of work to do to finish them. They were 40 days away. And then all of you now die. And they were moving around in circles for another 40 years until all of them perished. Why did that happen? Because that's what they actually said. That's actually what they said. So it's important what we say. It's important what we say. So again, the principle. Are you back in Mark 11? Go to verse 23 again. And then read in verse 24. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things he said shall come to pass. He shall what? Have whatsoever he said. Verse 24, therefore. Are you see? So therefore is, I want to show you why prayer works. Prayer doesn't work before you pray. Prayer works because what you say. Why should you be cautious about what you say? What you say already holds the answer. Should I say that again? Why are you careful about what you say? What you say holds the answer. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever you believe, when you pray, believe that you receive them, is those things that you believe, and you shall have them. If you remember those them, it says, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have. Believe that you receive and you shall have. It doesn't take faith to ask. Where faith is necessary is in your persuasion and your consistent confession. You know, people, anybody can pray. Anybody that asks can ask. There's no guarantee there will be an answer. So asking does not require faith, but like for a believer, it is how you ask and what you do after you have asked that shows faith. Look at James chapter 1 and verse 5. James 1 5 to see what asking says here. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men how? Liberally and upbraids not. He shall be given. Let me ask again. The word shall, is it a term of uncertainty or definiteness? Okay, so it shall, if he asks of God, and the God is asking for of, gives to all men how? Liberally. You can almost say it in a mechanical way. He's still calling your attention to notice where the variable is. He's going to ask of God. This God gives to all men. All men means even those who are not believers. He gives all men liberally, and he doesn't find fault. Or is he telling you the reason why God is liberal is that he doesn't find fault? Because he doesn't find fault, he can afford to be liberal. If he was finding fault, there is no way for him to be liberal. To be liberal means to be generous. He gives abundantly. So he doesn't examine your conduct to respond to your desire in prayer. That's what he's saying. But look at the next verse. Next one. But this is the exception. But let him ask how? In faith. Nothing waving. You're going to see something now interesting. For he that wavers like a wave of the sea, driven with wind and toss. Next verse. For let not that man, let him not. Where does thinking take place? In your heart? Let not one think that he shall receive what? Anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is what? How do we know he's double-minded? Wavering. What does it mean to waver? He has more than one speech and confession. Let me put it this way. You come to church. This is how you pray. You leave church. Your confession is different. What does a double confession mean? You are wavering. What does it do? It doesn't do anything about God giving. It does something about you receiving. So, when we say things like, we've prayed this way in church, to speak this way in church, to confess this way in church, when you step outside, that is when we determine whether you are wavering or not. Will God give always? Yes. Will you receive always? No. Who determines reception? You. Who determines giving? God. Why does God give? Because he's generous. He doesn't find for that. He doesn't find for. So, how does he give? Lavishly. How do you receive? Based on whether you waver or you don't waver. So that you believe now, which we're not going to just guess by your conduct, but we're going to measure by your confession. That you believe now in your confession, it must also continue to show that you believe in every other thing that you say. So it's linking both your confession to the state of your heart. Where do you waver on the inside? Do we see your heart? No. How do we know what's in your heart? By what you say. Hallelujah. By what you say. So, in the situations we just looked at, well, not all, particularly the one that Jesus on the air, what made them waver? They saw waves, they saw water. Let me ask you a question. If you see waves, you see water, you are the one that will make the conclusion. Does it mean you are going to die or swim? Faith is not just observing the condition. Faith is believing the worst of the circumstances. Think about it. That's what faith does. Faith is believing the worst circumstances. So when you find yourself in a difficult situation, it is not the situation, it is what you believe of it. Jesus came walking on the sea and they were all afraid. All of them were afraid. But one person said, Lord, if it be you, bid me come to you on the sea. What did Jesus say? What did he say? Come. How do you know that Peter believed? If it is you, bid me come. And what else? He stepped out. How do you know Peter had faith? Well, have you tried walking on water before? Have you tried it before? Even the bathtub, you will sink. So, now, on the sea now. So, now, here's the issue. Peter stepped out of the boat. Is that faith or not? So, did Peter have faith? What was Peter acting on? The word come. Then Bible says, when he saw the wind boisterous. So what's the issue now? The wind was boisterous before Peter stepped out. The wind should be boisterous because it's on the sea. Have you been to the seaside before? Okay. Even our own beach here. Have you noticed that wind blows constantly? Have you noticed? Constantly. Once there's water bubble, it blows. And that wind is also responsible for the movement of the water. Isn't it? A lot of times. So wind blows constantly. So is it normal for wind to blow on the sea? Yes. So the issue wasn't the wind blowing. The issue was the interpretation of the meaning of the wind. When he saw the wind burst on, he was afraid and beginning to sink. Who begins to sink? The people just sinking. I mean, I've just begin slow motion. Sinky sink. I don't know what you matrix. Matrix loaded. So, was he afraid? Yes. So, something suspended Peter. Whatever suspended Peter, where was that thing? I don't know whether you understand anything I've taught tonight. Whatever suspended Peter, where was that thing? What happened to what was in his heart? Something else entered. So, whatever was in Peter's heart suspended him. So, what was that producing? Ability to walk on water. Who gave that ability? Jesus. What made the ability work? Peter's heart. What happened to his heart? He accepted another thought. The condition before he stepped out was the condition after he stepped out on the outside. The only difference was that he gave a different interpretation to the wind. Like that woman that I told you that, telling me that, you just believed with me that you will be pregnant. Now you are pregnant. And 3 months after, if nobody educated you, that seeing blood means miscarriage. She's not done any medical test too. She just told herself, when you see blood like this, it means... Okay, and Bishop now said, am I not having miscarriage? He said, it's excess blood looking for how to go out. Let it go. What is that? An interpretation to what is going on. That means that it's not that there was a medical test that told her you have miscarriage. She was now enforcing, I don't even get it, enforcing miscarriage with her lips. A man came to see me in the office some time ago. He said, sir, he was looking very down. He said, this is the result from the lab. I don't understand, Pastor, this, that my wife is weakly positive. We're trusting God for a child. My wife is weakly positive. I said, whether it's weak or strong, power of God is that you have a child. Bring your wife, lay hands. What did I tell them to help their faith? Don't go back to handle tests. Wait for a while. When I say a while, I didn't specify time. And that's also important. If you say things like, in 2 weeks' time, I will go back. And your heart tells you, don't go. Don't go. No, see, I'm a man of my words, we know. I must go and show them that I said 2 weeks is 2 weeks. If your heart is not collecting you, bros, it's not over. Continue what we are doing. Process is still ongoing. And from 2 weeks, become 6 weeks after. The heart now gives you clarity to go. You can now go. So I told them, don't go back. What did I hear next? There was no need to go back because there was evidence that there was no need to go back. I don't even get it. There was no evidence because this was now 2 months after. What was weakly positive was strongly positive. What made the guy jittery? He couldn't see inside the wife's womb. He just believed what the test result said. That, it says weakly positive. What was the interpretation? That means it can drop anytime. He's not sure. They're not even sure anything's there. That was that. So the next thing is this. Can those feelings come? Is it, As in, is it wrong to have those feelings? No. It is now, what do you say? That's the question. What do you now say? That's where the issue is. Oh, I've seen people trusting God for funds. Then because in their mind, they were attached to a particular person. The person now sends a message, I'm so sorry, at this time, it's not possible. Their faith was here. It just goes shoom. Just drops to the bottom of the sea. How do you know when they are walking, they are slow? There's evidence. You know, you want to confess, but there's no energy. Because you were too sure that this is God's channel of blessing. And you have attached everything. So your mouth is now heavy. You can't even have the energy to even confess anything. Say, what do you want to do? I want to sleep. And I give you the advice. If you don't have the energy at all, go and sleep. Somebody will pray for you. But for those who know how it works, that moment of disappointment is your finest hour. You turn around. Men have failed, but my Father never fails. I thank you, Father. For there is no want of avenues of provision from you. I thank you, because you will never leave me nor forsake me. Today I boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. There's nothing a man can do unto me. Abundance comes my way. New avenues open up to me. Satan, I hope you are listening. It's not possible for me to fail. There's full supply. I have abundance on every side. The angels of God go forth and cause money to come my way. I refuse disappointment. I'm the king's kid. I'm my Father's son. Abundance is in our household. That's your finest hour. Because at that time, the same emotional force that wants to pull you down, you turn it around. Because that's a critical time for whatever you say then will impact greatly upon your heart. If you say the right thing in that emotional state, it will impact greatly. If you say the wrong thing, it will impact greatly. Because at that time, there's a tilt in your heart that needs to hear the right thing. It's more like, what do we do now? And your heart hears you say, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to believe. When you have done that, you can now go to bed. Did you hear what I said? You cannot go. Why? You reassure yourself. The words you are putting in, listen carefully, is a done deal. It's your heart that's not a done deal. But the words you are saying is more sure than your heart. God's word is already more sure than your heart. God's word is not what God can do. It is what God has done that you are declaring. It's more sure than the emotions that come up in your heart. You are just using those emotions to now reinforce, this is what I believe. So in the darkest hour, it's your finest hour. Because light will always triumph over darkness. It will always triumph. So what you say at that time is most crucial. That's why a lot of times when things that are going on, and I receive phone calls and people call me, I see what's happening at that point in time, they dropped their faith. Their faith is not gone. The best you can do is help them to pick it back up. That, don't you understand what you just dropped? You just dropped the victory that overcomes the world. That's the victory. Don't drop it. Pick it up. As you pick it, you can't see it. It's not physical. It's spiritual. Let your mouth school your heart in righteousness. Glory to God. Let your mouth school your heart in righteousness. And victory will yet come. Glory to God. All right, we'll stop here tonight. Amen. You get something tonight. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him thanks. This is how we win. This is how we prevail. Disappointing news, we carry a fragrance. God's word also has a fragrance. There's an aroma. I'm looking forward to you seeing the doctor's report and laughing. Glory to God. You see the results. I say, despite this, victory is mine. There's a report that is superior to this. Victory is still mine. And you laugh over it. You thank them. So when they say it's not working, said, oh, sorry, it's too late. It has worked. You don't understand what I'm saying. This one, I'm telling you, worked 2,000 years ago. It's still working now. It's still working now. It's still working now. We give you praise, Father. We exalt you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.